Job 38, verse 1 to 40, verse 2. God speaks. This is not the complete record of the final statements that God makes. Job breaks in to answer briefly. But let us look at these verses. Job 38, verse 1 to 40, verse 2. Then the Lord answered Job out of the storm. He said, "Who is this that darkens my counsel with words without knowledge? Brace yourself like a man. I will question you, and you shall answer me." It is the Lord who is speaking now. We've heard Elihu. We've heard the three comforters. We've heard Job. And now God speaks. To whom is God speaking? Well, clearly he is speaking to Job. The Lord answered Job out of the storm. But I don't think the remarks are to be confined entirely to Job. I'm sure the others will be listening in too. Surely God is addressing the so-called comforters here too. Haven't they darkened God's counsel with words without knowledge? Doesn't God address them? And even Elihu, who said so much that was worthy, does he not also need to hear the Lord speaking to him? Indeed, my friend, don't you need to hear God speaking to you? I certainly do. You see, this is the great key. I am a preacher of the gospel. I'm trying now to give a brief discourse. I give longer sermons, you might call them, discourses. I read papers. I prepare articles. I write books. I'm speaking a lot. I speak in various ways. And I'm not the only one, of course. Many preachers and speakers are addressing people. And this is all excellent in its way. God uses men to preach. He uses men and women to preach his word in the full sense of the word preach. But you see, I speak for myself. My preaching amounts to nothing. My writing comes to nothing. Unless the Lord himself speaks. God must speak through his word. God must speak through his word, even through my preaching and my writing and my discoursing, my conversation, and same for you. And we all need to hear not only the voice of the preacher, not only the voice of the teacher and his words, we need to hear that. We need to hear the voice, the living voice of the living God. Then the Lord spoke, and he said. My friend, there's no reason for me, there's no basis, there's no ground for me to go on discoursing and writing and everything else unless I hope and pray and look to God that he will speak through my word. There's no life in it. How can I convert a soul? How can I edify a saint? What can I do? It must be the Lord. You see, Isaiah 53, verse 1, Isaiah complains, "Lord, who has believed our preaching? Who's believed what I've been saying? Who's believed my message? To whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed?" And there's the key. Isaiah could go on discoursing all day long, but it'll just be words in the air. But it must be the arm, the power, the might, the wisdom, the grace. The Spirit of the Lord must speak. The arm of the Lord must be revealed. That's a great lesson. Unbeliever, you need to hear the voice of the living God. One day you will hear him, and you will come forth from the grave, and you will stand before him in judgment, and you will hear his voice then, and you will have to listen. If you have any sense, you will listen now. You will pause. You will stand. And you will listen to God speaking to you. And he speaks to you in various ways, but supremely through his word. And in these last days, the end of the age, the end of the ages, he has spoken to us by his Son, Hebrews chapter 1. What does God say here? What does he say to Job and these comforters? What does he say to me? What is he saying to you now, my friend? Well, look at it. I'll just be very brief on these passages. Job 38, verse 1 to 40, verse 2. God speaks of his eternity, his wisdom, his power, his sovereignty, his knowledge, the variety of his works, and so on, and so on, and so on. Where were you, verse 4, when I laid the earth's foundation? God is the great creator. This is simply declared, asserted, maintained. Not set out to prove it. I'm not trying to prove it. I just assert it. God laid the earth's foundation. He marked off its dimensions. He stretched the measuring line across it. He laid the footings. It's all graphic language. It's all vivid, poetic language. But it speaks of God's creation. And God is reducing man immediately. Were you there? No, of course you weren't. Did you understand it? Did you help me? Did you lay it out for me? No. Did I consult you? Did I bring you in for your wisdom? Did you use your PCs, your computers, and your slide rules so that I could call upon you and you could help me? Not at all. It was my wisdom. It was my power. Who shut up the sea behind doors when it burst forth from the womb? What lovely language here. But what a tremendous thought. Here's this great raging sea, wrapped in the clouds. And God says, I fixed a limit for it and set its doors and bars in place. And I said, this is how far you can come and no further. As I speak to you now, all unknown to me, out in the far reaches of the Atlantic, deep in the Pacific, round the Horn at Cape Horn, the seas are lashing and heaving and raging in other oceans too. Up in the Arctic, in the China Sea, in the great oceans of the world, there are great storms and tempests rising. But their waves shall dash against the shore. God has fixed their limit. Thus far, and no farther. And then God speaks, verse 12 and on of chapter 38, of the morning, the rising of the sun, the dawn coming, the sun creeping over the earth, the earth taking shape as the light gets it. And he speaks of these great works of God. Have you journeyed to the springs of the sea, or walked in the recesses of the deep? We're discovering now how much we don't know about the depths, the ocean deeps. I understand that our medications, many of them are being drawn from the ocean depths now, the bacteria there. We need them. There's riches and treasures in the ocean depths that we'd never understood. And then there's death itself. Have you seen the gates of death? Have they been shown to you? Do you know what death is like? Have you comprehended the vast expanses of the earth? See, God is pouring these things out to Job and these other men, and to you, my friend. And he's saying, are you listening? Can you answer? Can you understand? And then he deals with the light. This is a very wonderful thing. I read physics at university, and of course I understood that Newton had explained it all to us with his photons. Oh yes, we understood that. But then, of course, there were certain things that the photons wouldn't explain, these little parcels of light. And then we discovered, really, that Newton didn't quite understand it all. In the photon theory, it must be the wave theory. But I understand today, I'm out of it now, but I understand that this is, of course, as old hat now, it's not photons, it's not waves, it's both. It's a mixture, and it's still a great mystery. Light is a very wonderful thing. And God is ironical here, sarcastic even. Surely you can tell us, you know the paths to all these things, verse 20. 21. You tell us, you live so many years. No, my friend, you can live to a thousand years and you still won't understand. Then God speaks of the snow. Verse 22. The treasures, the storehouses of the snow. Now, I'm out of my depth here, but I understand that there's no two snowflakes alike. Think of all the billions of snowflakes, the billions upon billions upon billions upon billions of snowflakes that have ever fallen. And no two of them are ever alike. Is that not a staggering thought? The lightning, the rain, the torrents, the storms, the deserts. Does the rain have a father? Who fathers the drops of dew? From whose womb comes the ice, the frost, when the waters become hard as stone and the surface of the deep is frozen? Towards the end of the psalm, you get a very wonderful passage about the frost, the ice, setting hard like stone, like metal, hard as iron. And then God sends his word, and it melts. It runs as water again. And then 31 and on, the great constellations, the Pleiades, the Orion, the Bear, all these great constellations, constellation upon constellation, infinite, without reckoning. Look at the space and the stars and the sky and the sea, the tremendous depth, the clouds, the lightning bolts, the rain, the lions, all the nature things, all creation. The heavens are telling the glory of God. The firmament is showing his handiwork. Will you stand, my friend, and look at these things and wonder at them and deduce from them who made these things, who orders these things, who keeps these things? One of my grouses about creation meetings is they leave me with no sense of wonder. It's a wonderful creation. The order of it, and yet the difference is there, the magnificence of it, and yet the smallness of it. Chapter 39. I've left out things about the ravens, the birds crying, and so on. So many things here, but how about chapter 39? The mountain goats, the secret places where they give birth and nobody sees them. I think of the gentian, you know, the blue flower, in those little crevices in the mountains, the Alps. Nobody ever sees it, but the wonderful blue of it. But it's there for God, and it glorifies God. The Lord speaks, verse 5 of chapter 39, about the wild donkey and such animals. Nobody can control this animal, the wild ox and so on. Nobody can rule him. Nobody can govern him. Can you bring him to, use him to bring in your grain? And then the ostrich. Wings, but she can't fly, but she can run faster than a horse. And yet she has no sense. She lays her egg in the sand and forgets it and tramples on them. God did not endow her with wisdom. And yet she can run faster than a horse. And then the horse, the battle horse, raging for battle. Frenzied excitement. Chasing over the ground, eating up the ground. The power, the wisdom, the strength in the horse. The hawk flying. The eagle soaring, looking for prey. Chapter 40, verse 1, the Lord said to Job, "Will the one who contends with the Almighty correct him? Let him who accuses God answer him." The wisdom, the power, the variety, the glories, the wonders of God's works. The heavens are telling the glory of God. And the firmament is showing his handiwork. Oh, learn, unbelieving friend. Listen. Why does God send rain where nobody lives? Why does he give a bird wings but not let her fly, but she can run faster than a horse? You see, the evolutionist, the scientist, the man of the world, he's reduced everything to mere fact, mere logic, and mere reason. But the wonder, the variety, the seeming disorder, and yet the wonderful order of creation. I say again, all this is crying out about the being of God. Will you listen? Will you listen? Now, of course, this is written, and this was said, centuries and centuries ago. Now, in these days of the gospel, I can bring in other great factors. Have you looked at the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ and wondered there? Have you seen his resurrection in the empty tomb? Have you not asked about that? Think of his ascension into glory. Think of Pentecost and the pouring out of the Spirit and the wonderful consequences of that, the changes produced in men's lives. What do you say to these things, my friend? What do you say to them now? You see, one day you will hear the voice of God. You remember how I started this discourse? It's not my voice you need to hear, it's the voice of God. And God is speaking to you, and he's saying, look at creation, look at nature, look at all these things about you, they're all crying out to you. You will hear my voice. But if you will refuse to hear my voice now, one day you will hear it. You will come forth from the ground. You will stand before Christ in judgment. and then your voice will speak, and I will tell you from Philippians 2 what you will say. Your knee will bow, and your tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. You will wonder in that day, but it won't be a saving wonder. It will be a wonder unto damnation. Now is the time to wonder unto salvation. And I appeal to you from Job 38, verse 1 to 40, verse 2. Hear the voice of God. See his power. Feel his power. Hear his voice. And bow the knee now. And trust Christ and confess Christ as your Savior and your Lord. And glory in God and his wisdom and his power. And know that this God, from then on, will be your God, even for ever and ever. Amen.